It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted. Risk management, insurance planning. This is one of the five key pillars that we deal with when we talk to people about financial planning.
That it is.
It's the one that people tend to not want to talk about too much, but it's really essential because from our perspective, and it's not just our perspective, but if somebody doesn't have these areas, insurance planning, taken care of properly, it can destroy what you've been building up. And one of the pillars is property and casualty, auto insurance, which we know we have to have. And so we have a guest on today, one of my buddies from a long, long time. It pains me to say this, but he is an expert in this area and is really, really good in this area. So we wanted to bring him on, Finney Rachel. Why don't you give us a little background, Finney, about you and who you are and
sure,
who your best friend in life is.
My best friend is Ed.
Good answer. <Yeah.
laughs> Your nose is growing.
Thank you. It's big. Well, I've had 34 years experience in the insurance industry. I started the first 5.5 years I was in operations. So I did auto claims and home claims and injury settlements. In the middle of that, I got an insurance degree in, it's called property casualty underwriter. It really is the epitome of boring geek insurance industry information. And about 27 years ago, I started my own agency. And so I've been doing that pretty consistently ever since that time.
So what does that mean, like having your own agency? What does that entail?
Yeah, I have a group of people that work with me, and we produce policies. We give people advice on what to do, not to do, try to make sure we can get them the best price for the types of risks that they're taking.
And what areas would that cover?
Yeah.
Insurance.
Sure. Auto, home, life, disability, business policies, apartments, condos, errors and omissions, fidelity bonds, extended dental.
This building right here.
This building right here.
Is insured by Finney.
Ladies lingerie. No, that's, oh, okay. That's different.
Umbrella policy is one that we talk about quite a bit that I know you cover as well.
I think that's probably one of the most important assets, asset management tools that you can have for a very inexpensive amount of money. It's not a big money maker for us, but I have stories about those that have had and those have not had the umbrella policies. And a real key, so when I was an injury adjuster, we would always try to settle a liability claim within the confines of the policy. And there were those times when we had to send a letter knowing that there may have been a death or a fairly serious injury that the $100,000 or the $250,000 wasn't going to cover the value of the claim. And that letter that went out was, hey, you need to obtain your own attorney. We're going to be able to pay.
So this would be a situation where people would have either car insurance or something that had to do with their home.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. So we know that these are insurances that you have to have.
Yep.
Right. And so explain how they work a little bit and then how this umbrella policy, which isn't necessary,
sure,
but we agree that it's something that everybody should have.
Yeah. It's like spending pennies to protect millions, to be honest. In fact, most companies will give an additional discount on your auto for having the umbrella. So the actual real cost of it is less than what the price of the umbrella would be. And the umbrella is going to cover liability issues that occur over and beyond the underlying coverage on an auto, a home, a boat, a condo. And there's two things. So there, a lot of companies do it a little bit differently. One is the defense costs, and then the other is the actual payment if there's a settlement or an injury that needs to be covered. Some companies, and you have to be aware of it, will the amount of defense costs that are paid will erode the actual liability payment. So in the average defense costs are around $120,000. Now, if it's a
really, so the defense, like the attorney costs.
That's right. So if you have a $1 million umbrella, if you have a really large trial that goes on, and you're talking $500 to $800 an hour for an attorney, you could erode $200,000 to $250,000.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. So then the insurance actually then only covers the difference.
Yeah. And so some of the stuff we'll talk about in today's volatile environment, property and casualty, is some companies are doing little things like that to eliminate some payment. Mm. But a lot of the consumers aren't aware of it because it's in the fine print of the policy. So
really, really,
what should people look for when they're, you know, getting a home or an auto policy?
Well, it's not always about the cheapest price, because there are a lot of caveats inside of that. You know, on a homeowner's, for instance, there are some companies now that you'll have an actual cash value policy. It may be called Homeowners Deluxe. I had one of my staff members' family had a fairly large loss a number of years ago. It was over $150,000. And when they submitted the claim, they were paid $16,000 because they realized they had an actual cash value policy. They thought they were going to get everything taken care of, and they didn't. And it was really a tragedy. So you have to look at that. There are companies now that are putting a coinsurance or a separate deductible on wind, hail, or actual cash value on a roof. So, I mean, an average roof now is probably no less than $30,000. If it's 20 years old and over half of that useful life is gone, then you may only get 15 from your insurance company. So it's really important to ask those questions to know what's going on. And one of the things that used to be only part of a business policy is coinsurance. And there are companies now that after the deductible will have a 70-30 or 80-20 coinsurance. So of a $100,000 loss after your deductible, you may be coming out of pocket $20,000 or $30,000. So I call those landmine policies. It's like you weren't expecting it. You stepped on something wrong and it blew up on you. So you have to be really cognizant and ask some questions about those things.
I think that's a massive point, especially when you talk about, you know, people that typically want to shop for price because they don't think about that event actually occurring. But as you're mentioning, you know, you get what you pay for. And if you're only going by price, the benefit's going to be reduced. Sure. And I'm sure you can share stories of those events that actually do happen. No one is immune from these occurrences.
Right.
And so, you know, we want to very much be careful on what we're actually getting into.
We were talking a little bit about umbrella policies a minute ago. So before we get too far away from that, I had two stories. I had one real estate agent friend of mine that I'd met with, and he had $100,000 of liability, and he's a fairly successful realtor. And I've said to him a number of times that you really need to increase your liability coverage and probably get an umbrella. Probably had a conversation with him three times, and I got a phone call from him one day, and he said, "Hey, Finney, can I get that umbrella now? I just had an accident."
Oh.
And he hit a lady in a crosswalk, and it was an older lady, broke her knee. And I think the medical bills were $30,000 or $40,000. I'm like, "Joe, you've got a claim. You need to have the coverage enforced before the actual event occurred." And he was very fortunate because I believe the value of that claim was well over his limits, but we were able to settle it for $100,000. Second story was a doctor.
But in that scenario, like if it was worse, he hurt her worse, or somebody could have gotten much more, half a million dollars, right?
Yeah,
and then he would have had to pay for that out of his pocket.
That's correct.
Right. And that's why we think it's so important to make sure all your insurances are so taken care of. And the umbrella really is like, it's like you said, it's this piece of insurance that you can use, hopefully never, but can really change everything.
So one of the mantras that I've said over many, many times is it's not what you make, it's what you keep. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you've made millions of dollars, you can make one mistake either at your home or on an auto, and everything that you've worked for in your entire life is eliminated.
That would be ridiculous.
And for $200 to $300 a year, you can protect that without having to worry about it. So my second story was I had a doctor who lived in a gated community, and he chose to take out a $2 million umbrella policy, which basically cost him $400 a year. His son was driving and was going to make a left-hand turn, and it wasn't a big accident. It was less than $500 of property damage. But the lady who was stopped in the turn lane was examining her tongue in the rearview mirror. And when she got hit, her teeth closed and cut off the end of her tongue. So she actually had three blood transfusions, nearly died. And the actual bills for intensive care were about $400,000. And we paid out $950,000 for this final settlement. She's going to have a speech impediment the rest of her life because you just can't stop, you know, a tongue from bleeding. And it, as unfortunate as it is, for the amount of money, he basically paid us $400 and we paid out $960,000. So it was it really kept his assets intact, and he was happy about that for sure.
You know, statistically, it's just so infrequent these things happen, but they happen, and there is no way, you know, there's just no way to know. And so you want to make sure that, and it takes care of anything that happens at your house as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's,
or like you said, boat, or if you have a boat or anything, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Every piece of asset you have adds on another level of risk.
Yep.
So,
well, and you guys at the very beginning, we talked about, you know, risk management is if you can not have something that you don't have to insure, you don't have that risk. So if you're not familiar with a motorcycle, or you're not familiar with a jet ski or a boat, I mean, I can tell you examples of people that, you know, we had a young lady at Wheaton Academy that got struck by a jet ski motorboat and lost her leg. She was a soccer player. That settlement, I couldn't even imagine what it would be. But if you just avoid that, you know, if it's not something you're comfortable with, then just don't do it. And then you don't have to insure it, and you don't have your assets at risk. So that's probably the easiest form of insurance is don't pay anything and don't take the risk.
And don't have any fun at the same time, right?
Well, that's right. You should always just suck lemons.
Exactly.
What are some common, like, I don't know, exclusions that people need to be aware of, you know, that are out there? They probably don't even know. They might be in their policies, but they need to look out for.
Yeah, there's always going to be, with every form, doesn't matter what company, volcanic activity, nuclear war, maintenance sort of items, those are always going to be excluded. And then years ago with the suburban sprawl, most companies have separated the backup of sewer and drain. So if you have water in your basement, there are things like seepage or foundation cracks that most companies, there's not going to be covered. There's not a peril that caused it. So there's not going to be coverage for that. But those are some of the main exclusions. Although now in the last 2 years, there's been some endorsements to come back to cover some of those things. So, but it's important too, especially if you have a really nice basement, to make sure you've asked the question about the backup of sewer and drain, because that tends to be a large conversation, especially when there's an inordinate amount of rain, like we've had, an occasion here in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll get a call and they've got 6 inches of water in their basement. And if there isn't that endorsement, then that's going to be sort of an SOL. You're on your own with that.
Yeah. And that happens quite a bit. I think about my childhood, I think we had 3 floods growing up. And so it exists.
Yeah. So, and a flood is separate from backup of sewer and drain. So flood is usually water that's above ground. You can get coverage through the National Flood Insurance Program. Most carriers, we can help with it, but, oftentimes flood doesn't cover anything below the first floor. It's usually if there's damage above the first floor. So there's a lot of caveats of that as well. It's an expensive policy, and the backup sewer and drain is usually water that emanates from the sewer and drain system, or if there's a malfunction of the backup system, then you need to have that endorsement to have that kind of coverage. Now, don't confuse that with, we have a lot of people that put a little too much toilet paper in the toilet and there might be a check valve that gets stuck and water overflows. That's covered under the regular homeowner's form. But if it's in the basement, coming from the sewer and drain, system, then you certainly need to have the endorsement for that.
Makes what about sense. Like common riders that people should consider getting, like additional to just a regular policy?
So one of the main things that we often find with folks is most homeowners forms are going to be limited with, appreciable items like jewelry and fur and those sort of things. So there's usually a separate endorsement for that called a personal article float or a personal article policy, depending on what company you're with. That's an important aspect because some folks have some either precious items or items that are part of the family that, and the key to that is that you do an appraisal and you decide on the dollar amount that it's worth prior to a loss. And then usually there's an index for inflation that keeps in step with it. So, you know, over years, you've got the amount of coverage in there that you should have. Personal article policy, I think, is an important aspect of that. The other thing that, as I mentioned earlier, there are some, there's a new endorsement called Service Line. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
I haven't heard of this one before.
All of this is really exciting. Yeah.
With the advent of, you have an older home that has an issue between your foundation and the sewer line that the city has, you might have clay tiles or something that needs dug up, and for a smaller amount than what like NICOR or ComEd would be asking for, you can get an endorsement on your homeowner's policy that would cover up to $10,000 for that. So that's sort of a new thing.
Yeah. So as we were talking earlier, you know, shopping price and that price isn't the only component. But let's say I'm looking at it and I see, you know, what I feel to be a good price with a very small insurance company, mm-hmm. right? That you had mentioned some items that clients overlook when they're just looking at price and benefit. There's more to it than that. Can you shed some light on that?
Absolutely. So inside of a policy, I mean, the proof is in the policy. And you'll have different companies that are going to facilitate their policy benefits in different ways. And as I mentioned earlier, there can be a co-insurance clause that you're surprised is there. There can be a different deductible. I mean, one's really common. Wind and hail might be a $5,000 or even $10,000 deductible. And if you're in Texas or in some of the, you know, the weather prone areas, you could have a $20,000 deductible. So it's just important to look at some of those things to see what's going on. And then the other caveat is the actual cash value. You always want to have a replacement cost policy. And so that's going to get you whatever it is that you had new so that you're put back in the same condition you were prior to the loss. It's kind of sad, but there's oftentimes producers or call centers that won't advise you unless you ask that question. They won't tell you that there's an actual cash value policy or a different deductible for wind hail. You have to ask the question and you have to be astute enough to do that. And you don't want to be surprised and have to come out of pocket if there's an event.
I think that's so powerful. You know, when you were talking about this earlier with us, the way my mind worked with it is, you know, there's an insurance broker that takes the order and gives you the policy, but then there's an insurance advisor who actually thinks about things given your situation and advises you on what makes most sense. And that's what you're alluding to here.
Yeah. There's also, you know, I mean, you can always go online, you can find and see how companies are responsive or not responsive to your call. I just had a lady that sat with me the other day and she had a major carrier and she's like, I called my agent, I called him multiple times, never returned my call. I emailed him, never returned my call. I asked the staff to have him call me back, never returned my call. And while it's a good company, there was no responsiveness. So you want somebody who's going to be able to answer your questions when you have them and you know, be there when you have a dire need.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I mean, you know, I'm tooting your horn, but you have a great staff and they're great at that, you know, and we've done a lot of business together and I've referred a lot of people and I just constantly get how great your staff is. And I know you know that, but that's super important. I mean,
when you need it, you want someone to be
really good customer service and a really solid company. I mean, I know you've kind of even soft sold this idea of like when people go for the lowest price in this industry, you get what you pay for. And you guys are actually like your prices are pretty reasonable at State Farm, but a lot of these we're not even name the companies. You just keep telling me about stories you hear like people think they're covered or they got to fight with the company to try to get payment when it just seems obvious they should, right?
Yeah, and there's been some surprising things that I've seen with even companies that are our closest competitors. And it oftentimes is the producer that's not giving them the time of day or giving them the actual truth of things. Sad but true, it still does happen. So the other thing I was going to say too, we were talking about umbrella policies and you don't really know this, but my experience in the injury department is when we had a significant liability loss, it was fairly impressive. The defense firms that we used, there was a lot of money paid out and they were the best defense firms to stand up for the customer and try to protect their assets and get, if it was something that we owed, always getting a release so there's no more residual impact beyond that particular claim from that person. So yeah, you hope you're never in that situation, but.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the other items we talked about before, and I get this from some clients is, you know, when I bundle services, it's less expensive.
Right.
Why is that?
Yeah, I don't really know for sure. You'd have to ask the actuaries, but it does work. So there's usually a discount on the home for having the auto and vice versa auto for having the home. And then with a lot of companies, there's also an additional discount for having an umbrella. I think part of it is just affinity. You know, you want, if everybody has their stuff together and you can encourage them to do that, it's one-stop shopping. It's easier for the company. It's easier for the customer. That's become more and more of a thing. You've heard bundle. There's a large company out there that I think coined the bundle phrase, and that seems to be of, you know, something that comes up quite frequently in the offices. Do you want to bundle that? I mean, you know, it does make sense to do it. And I have some other tips too that, you know, in terms of reducing your costs, I will tell you this, that even 10 or 15 years ago, we could have had a hailstorm and I'd get a call from someone and they'd like, I think I got hail, you know? So I'm like, oh, no problem. We would put in a claim, have a claim adjuster go out, inspect the premises to see if there is damage or not damage. And then we'd go on with the day. But now it's a whole different day and age. It's most important that if you have a loss, to not put in a claim. If you have a claim that we should cover, that's fine. But if it's something you're not sure of, always have a professional, or you can talk to your agent, don't put a claim in, but say, hey, what should I do? Usually we're going to suggest that they get a local roofer or a professional in that particular area and find out, is there really the damage that would be covered by insurance or not? Because if you have a couple of zero paid claims, underwriting thinks you've got an issue with your roof, it needs replaced, and you're fishing to get the insurance company to pay for it. So they get really antsy. And we've had some folks that have had a couple zero paid claims where underwriting saying we're going to non-renew them.
Wow.
So, and a claim can also increase your premium. So it's okay if you had to put one in. No problem. If you're going to do it, make it big. But if it's something small, you probably want to take that out of pocket, including an auto claim, unless it's a liability thing.
Like, so what you're saying is, like a lot of things in life, just clearly communicate.
Right.
That helps.
Yeah. A lot of companies have also come out with these telematic devices that some folks like, don't like. They don't want Big Brother watching. But with every company, and I'm not the best driver, I don't always drive in the appropriate manner. So even with my poor driving, I mean, they have a score, and I was telling my manager the other day, I'm like, I'm at least getting C's. And I go to C minus here.
Hey, C is average.
Right. She said, well, C is the lowest grade you can get.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Like, oh, I didn't know that. So, but I'm still saving $10 every 6 months. So, but it is, and I do have, I've had customers that are saving $100. And there's a couple of companies that are really big on the telematics, but it is one way that you can save dollars. We used to have a cutoff on, they called it short annual miles, and it was 7,500 miles a year. So below that, it was a cheaper rate than above that. That's gone now. But if somebody was driving 2,000 miles a year or 1,000 miles a year, there was no way to give them an additional discount. Now there is with the telematics. If they're not driving a car very much, it will tell you, it will give you that appropriate discount. So that's a real important aspect there. The other thing is deductibles. We've had a lot of customers that have, historically, I've got some $100 collision deductibles, and it just doesn't make sense to have that. I mean, you're not going to put in a claim for $50. You really want to put in a claim for a little bit more. And you can usually save a bunch of money by having a higher collision deductible. I wouldn't change the comprehensive. The comprehensive, and we talk about the difference between that. Comprehensive is anything but collision. So it's going to be a theft, a rock chip in the windshield, vandalism. Oh, here's one that's real interesting, happens quite frequently. Somebody puts diesel into a regular gas tank or regular gas into a diesel and the engine freezes up. It's actually stupidity is a covered loss too. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. And occasionally we'll have one of those jiffy, you know, fast oil change places not tighten up the oil.
And leakage.
They'll have some leakage, and then of course you have a freeze up, and that's covered as well. So that's comprehensive versus collision. Collision, usually you're struck by something or you strike something. But my point is the collision deductible, you can raise that, save some dollars, and you're not going to put a claim in for $300 or $400. Although a little scratch on your bumper in today's day and age is
could
500 bucks.
Yeah, right.
But the comprehensive, we usually suggest a zero or $100 or $250 deductible. So because the premium's way much less than what a collision deductible would be. Which brings me to the next point, and I don't mean to take your guys' thunder, but everybody's noticed if your insurance premiums haven't gone up, they are going to go up. And there isn't any way to avoid it. The entire industry has impacted since we had COVID. Liability claims have increased exponentially. The ability reinsurance costs have quadrupled, if not gone up five times. Parts prices have increased. The supply chain is slow. So you might have a $1,000 claim, which in prior years might be 3 or 4 business days to get it fixed. Well, now the part doesn't show up. So you're without your car for 3 or 4 weeks. So the car rental goes up. So there's a lot of costs associated with that. I backed into a lady in my parking lot Who worked next door. She was parked there. She shouldn't have parked there. Anyway.
It was her fault.
It was definitely her fault. Anyway, this is like 4 years ago. So I said, well, just go, a couple friends, go get an estimate and I'll just pay whatever, you know. And it was $700. I'm like, no big deal. Well, she didn't get fixed until like 3 months ago. And I got the call and I trust these guys.
Wow.
It was $2,400.
That's the difference.
The part right had there. Doubled. The labor rates have doubled. The paint material doubled. So it's all part of what's going on. And then what's happening is there's a lot of companies. There's a large company out there who said, we're no longer writing through agents. We don't want to pay their commission. You can only get it online. Hmm. It's contracting the industry. The other thing is never, ever go without insurance. Don't say like, I'm pissed at this company, so I'm going to quit and I'm going to go over here. You might have 2 or 3 days without insurance, by the way, which is not good risk management, but that company knows you've been without insurance for 3 days. So that throws you into a higher rate.
Wow.
And there are a lot of advantages, and you and I've had this discussion, is there are a lot of advantages with having been with a company for a number of years because you get some affinity discounts. And with us, there's a forgiven accident. You can run over 9 nuns in a crosswalk, and that first accident is forgiven.
You have the sample size of being with them and showing the proof.
That's correct. And there was no increase in premium.
Well, my aunt's a nun, and they only walk in 8s, not 9.
Oh, well, seriously?
I think his point still applies, Ed.
Okay. I don't understand where you're coming from. It's okay. Your aunt's really a nun?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, in wrapping up, what do you suggest to people when they're looking at all of these things? If they're going to go and kind of review their policy or they're looking, what do you tell people to do?
Have a face-to-face with your producer, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. I just sat down with a fellow that I've insured for 15 years and there wasn't really anything that we changed, but he wasn't concerned about the rates, even though his rates have gone up, but we wanted to make sure that he had everything that was available, make sure he had a state-of-the-art policy, make sure there weren't any gaps. He carries an umbrella policy with an uninsured motorist endorsement, which the uninsured motorist endorsement is not available in the industry anymore. But we had the conversation and there were a couple things that I'm like, well, maybe you do this or maybe you do that. And here's a way we can save some dollars. So, and with him, it was the telematics, but have the discussion, ask the question, is this an actual cash value policy? Is it replacement cost? Is there a co-insurance? Is there a separate deductible for my wind and hail? And what else can I do to reduce my premiums? One other thing is if you're over 50, there's a defensive driving discount, which usually with most carriers is 5%. So, and you take the class one time and it lasts for 4 years. So there's discounts there. There's little things that some companies may have. Some may have a military discount or some may have a teacher discount. I mean, ask the question. And I think for me, when I have a customer that calls and asks, it quickens my spirit, makes me look a lot more closely at their policies to make sure that I have everything that's available to them in discounts and that they have all the coverages that they have, because I don't want that call where I talk to somebody and say, I'm sorry, you don't have that coverage. So take the time to do it. It might take you 15 minutes. If you've got a really good responsive producer, it will make a difference in you and your family and protect your assets so that you're not left paying money out of something that you have earned for years, because it's not what you make, it's what you keep that makes the difference. So those are a number of things that are important as you review your insurance portfolio. And I would highly recommend that you make that call and get in front of your insurance producer.
Wonderful. This has been very insightful today. So thanks for coming on and educating us, especially with the dynamics of this landscape. So if you want to get a hold of Finney and his company, we'll be posting his information on our episode here with his contact as well. So with all that said, I think it is time now for Ed's Food for Thought.
Here we go. All right. This recipe, I've got a great recipe. I made like about a month ago. Your wife would not approve of this recipe. His wife is, she only believes in eating healthy things that sometimes are delicious, but sometimes not.
And since you have enough life insurance, you don't need to eat healthy, right?
Right, yeah.
I will vouch for you though. Ed is an incredible cook. Milkshakes are my favorite. Omelets are great. Yeah. I mean, everything he makes is really good.
So he backs it up is what you're saying. Yeah, after all this.
He's a great wife.
I'm a cook. I've never claimed to be a chef. I just like to cook a handful of things that I'm okay at. But I found a recipe the other day and I made it. And let's just say the results were my wife and my daughter said, this is amazing and this needs to be a staple. We need to have more often. So that's why I'm sharing it. I do pay attention to social media. My feeds basically feed me food things and business things. That's like sometimes sports things. So I get lots of recipes. So I have a lot of saved recipes, too many that I'll ever make. But I made this one the other day. And it's a shrimp with heavy cream and Parmesan and garlic. Yeah, so that's why you will only have it if you come to my house. Your wife will never make it. But it's a shrimp creamy sauce that I will post on here. It's super easy. I mean, shrimp tastes like that. And also, like, the shrimp, there's not many calories in the shrimp. It's the heavy cream problem. So I suggest if you like shrimp, you got to give it a try. It is awesome.
Well, I am a shrimp lover, so okay. I'm going to hold you to that, Ed.
So who's going to make it at your house, Rachel or you?
No, you're going to make it. I'm going to come to your house. Oh, that's what we're talking about, right?
Well,
and
you
I want to go the easy
route. If you want it, you got to come to my house.
Okay, that's
fine. Won't have it at your
house. Fine. After right. I fast for about 3 weeks, I'll come over.
There you go. Plan accordingly, right?
Well, thank you all for coming. Thank you, Finney. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you next time.
Yep. This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.